getting real with Roz. Come on, come on.
Give it to me now, baby, come on. Give it to me now, baby, come on.
Let's go.
Let's teach these people just how we party. Let's get together and dance. Let's get together and dance. Let's teach these people just how we do it. Just shake your body, just like this party.
Yep, yep, let's go. Hello, I am Roz, the host of Getting Real with Roz. Last month was my first guest, Elias Kuala, out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We had such a great time. We even had a song snippet that we wrote together. Fun. This month, I'm speaking life into you and encouraging you to never stop dreaming. Dreams keep your mind active and growing into a better you. The negative voices choke the life out of you, and I'm here to bring you good energy. Also, along with speaking life, I'd like for my guests to also speak life, especially to those trying to navigate through this tricky entertainment business. But just a reminder that you can have a free download of that first intro song, Baby Come On, which is my song on the Infinite L Radio SoundCloud. But check this out. This week, I'm so excited to announce this is a great friend, confidant, an activist, singer, songwriter, all-around artist of all artists. Pleasure to introduce this next guest. She helps when she can and also is a believer in speaking life into others. So we're going to hear some good things from her, and I'm really excited to share with you our next guest, Jisun.
Hello. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, Roz. You definitely are speaking life and encouragement and inspiration just in that intro. So thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. And I'm honored to have you here to be able to, like I said, speak life and just help those who need help in whatever way you feel like you can help.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what I usually like to start off with is, it's so weird because since we know each other, I'm trying to stay professional.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask you a question that I ask, that I've asked my last guest, and I want to continue asking for each guest, mm-hmm. is a nerd question. It is, what do you use? What you using? What kind of equipment do you like to use? You can tell the guests or tell the audience if you record yourself or if you don't record yourself, what type of mic do you like to use and record with when you perform, or excuse me, that you like to perform with?
I typically have, you know, most venues, even I don't record myself. I go to a recording studio typically, depending on where I'm at. You know, they'll have their own setup. But if I'm performing somewhere, venue, I usually take my own microphone, and I use a Sennheiser. And I've always had it, and I still have it. And that's when I use unless there's some kind of technical, you know, mix up with the sound engineer and how they work the, you know, the microphones they already have there in their venues. But I take a Sennheiser with me wherever I go.
Is it a... the phantom powered mic?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. So I know sometimes some of the engineers have a hard time with phantom power. Maybe not anymore, but so you could use the Sennheiser.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And you said you usually go in somewhere to record your songs,
yeah.
and record your messages or your songs, which is really cool because I had to learn mm-hmm. how to, you know, record myself because it was hard to find good engineers. So that is a blessing that you even have
yeah.
people that you can work
yeah.
with. And that leads into my next question, though. Who is in your
mm-hmm.
production team? I'm not sure if you can name anyone or your squad that you like to give a shout out to. Anybody in particular?
Well, I have not worked on any recent projects since COVID. I'm getting ready to get started again in the next month or so. But prior to COVID, I was doing a lot of work out of L.A., and I had two places that I went to. One was in Tarzana in the mountains, and my engineer's name was Gabe, and then I had another location that I went to that was more in like downtown LA. And the engineer there was Nick, and both were really good, two different projects that I was working on. But those are the two most recent engineers that I had that worked on my latest or my previous projects.
You write all of your music?
I do not.
Okay. Well,
I write
some
of it, and I co-write a lot of it, but I do have writers. I've had writers in the past. There's a few songs that I have written, but I value the expertise and the creativity of people that have that gift. You know, for me as a singer, I do, you know, you tap into that and we have to. But there are people that have that gifting, and when they're there, you know, I like to utilize those gifts. And like I said, a lot of times I co-write. So it's not just all or nothing. We're kind of working together as a team.
Can you tell me legally, again, this is all helpful to people who are in the music business right now in particular, but how do you do your co-writing, like legally, like with the copyright laws and that type of thing? How do you legally make sure that everyone gets the right credits?
If I'm co-writing, most times, depending on how much of it, let's say 50%, they just get the 50% of the credit. But that's important that whomever is, if they write 100% of it, they get all the credits. I've never been one to say, well, I need to have a certain percentage of that because it's my song. If they write it, it's coming from their heart, their head, and so that they need the credit for that. So whatever it is, and you can split up. If it's just like if I write the hook and they write the majority, then, you know, maybe 80-20, something like that.
But right.
I've
tell people what the hook is.
Of the
I'm
mind.
Sorry. Before you continue, tell people really quick what the hook is.
The hook is like the chorus. It's like the catchy part of the song that repeats itself throughout. So that's typically what people attach to first. And then they'll, you know, eventually learn the verses, but the hook is the catchy part of the song.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, go ahead, continue.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying that I think it's really important that when you are in a position where you can share, you know, writing and giving credits, that you give credit to the people that have given you that gift.
Right. So when you're writing music, okay, I'm just saying I'm sitting there and I have an album coming up, or maybe I don't have an album coming up. How do you get inspired by your to write? Like is there any process that you go through?
It's kind of sporadic, but I think with any creative, there are things, and I know it sounds so cliche, but people say the things that are going on in your life are what inspires you. Sometimes that is a major factor where there'll be something that's happening in your life, whether it be good or bad, you can draw inspiration from that. For me, it just kind of will, a melody will hit my head and I'll take out my phone and I'll do the recorder and I'll just record the melody and then go back and kind of put some words to it. So that's how I've done in the past when it kind of is one of those inspirational things where I'm going through something or something has happened. I just get inspired and I hear it and I put it down, and that's that route. But I've also been in a position where I've had no input in the creative process, where I have a producer, a writer, all that do it for me, and I just go into the studio and sing it.
Would you prefer somebody just write for you and you sing, or does it matter? Just a good song is all you need?
Well, I think it depends. For me, I've had producers that really work well with me. So they know my style, they know my story, and they kind of creatively connect with me. So those have been some of the easier ones to work with because the style of the music and even their writing just fits to a T. And sometimes I've been in situations where I've been under contract. It's all written for me. It's all produced. I really don't have, like I said, a lot of input in the creative aspect of it. And it's been, to be completely honest, not enjoyable at all.
What made it unenjoyable?
Because I wasn't attached to the music. I wasn't attached to the lyrics. It didn't really feel right.
Gotcha.
Even the style of music. And it was hard. I think people are under the impression being a singer going to the studio is a lot of fun. And it can be for sure, but in situations where it's like, you know, you're in there, you're kind of like a robot, you go in, you sing, you do everything that you're told, and it can be pretty brutal. And so
right.
I learned early on to really try my best to have more input into the creative aspect as well, because I didn't want to repeat that same mistake and get into a situation where something I have a passion for, something I've been blessed with this gift, I started to really not enjoy it and dislike it. So
how do you get your voice then? Like if you're saying speak up and you want to make sure you get your voice in there and that they know, you know, you want to show them, look, this is what I want. How do you do that?
Well, one of the first projects I worked on, I was under contract, so I had to carry that out. And it was a lesson learned, and it wasn't a horrible situation at all. It was just I was learning what works best for me as a singer and an artist. But moving through that process and really thinking about and just kind of watching how the industry works and moves, me going independent and choosing whom I worked with and who mm-hmm. my writers would be, and then having more in that space, having more input was the direction that I
gotcha.
Felt, at least for me, was the best, is just being independent and you're not locked into having to do certain things or having to abide by what a label is telling you have to do.
So you're answering some questions I'm going to ask you also here in a little bit. We're going to get to some of your music here shortly, but I'm going to ask you an odd question now. Who is
mm-hmm.
your pet? Do you have a pet?
I have a shared pet. It's my parents.
What animal do you have? What is it?
He's a Westminster Terrier. He's a little Westie. The little white dog you see on little dog food containers.
Does he like the music?
Very cute. He better like it. Absolutely, he loves it.
He's like, he better. What's his name?
He better. Finn. Short for Finley.
Finley, oh,
Finley.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Finley. You need to put him on one of your albums.
I know, right? Put him on the cover.
Right, right.
Have him do a little feature. The hook is done by Finley, yes.
Right, yes. So, before we talk about your next song, what mm-hmm. made it clear that music was your passion? Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Oh, goodness. I think for many, you know, as a Black woman, I think for many of us, we start off in the church. And so my first memories were me singing in church. Like about 4 is I think when I first started getting up in front of the church, my grandmother would play. And I would sing at her home church. And then she would kind of circulate me around to different churches throughout the city. And so it started very young for me, and I just kind of knew that it was a thing. And I remember I was probably about 6 or 7. My mom asked me, well, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a singer. And I knew even then that it was a gift because I never had any kind of training. It was just something I was able to do. And that's how I started, really, really young in the church. So
do you remember your first song?
It was just
song?
A gift. I do.
What was
I
it?
I do. It was called He Touched Me, and it's an old hymn.
What? Can you hum a little bit?
I'm shackled by a heavy burden, need a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. Yep, that was the first
one. Wow. I think somebody need to hear that.
It's so funny that I remember, like, I haven't seen that song in years, but, you know.
I was trying to remember which one it was. That's why I was like, can you hum a little bit? Because I couldn't remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now when you got to the hook, like you said earlier, I remembered the song now. Mine was, I think, less fancy than that.
Okay.
Actually, let me think about it. I'll let you know here shortly which one mine was, because my mom was also the same. She was a gospel musician. What do you call it? Minister of music. So I didn't have a choice but to sing. That's like how we paid rent at 4 years old.
Yep.
So we had to sing.
It's real.
So it is. I'm right. It is definitely real. So, okay. Well, I want to talk about this, your next song. But before we talk about it, I'm going to have us play your song called Setting of the Sun.
Okay.
No matter how far away, I'm wanting you closer and closer. We come, intensify attraction. Can't resist you. My heart is. Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Getting Real with Roz on the Infinite L Radio. Let's connect on Instagram at GrammyNod.
Well, Jason?
Yes.
That was so sultry. So when you play that for your mom, what were they thinking?
Well, I typically, I don't know what it is. A lot of the songs that I do, I think because of the timbre of my voice, tend to go in that direction.
I love it. It's great. Yeah. It reminds me of, I didn't even think of this, a Janet Jackson kind of feel. I'm just now feeling that. Who do you think it's kind of like? I love that.
I can see that. I can see like late 80s, early 90s Janet. Definitely.
Yeah. Anytime Janet, though, was good.
Thank you. Okay, come on, Ross. Tell the truth.
Anytime Janet, we can take her right now.
I'll take it.
It's really, so anyway, your voice is just, it's almost like you kind of get lost, first of all, in the song. And who does your background vocals? You know, I love some background vocals.
Yeah, so that was all me. So I stacked all the vocals. So I did the lead vocal, but all the harmonies and the background for me. I just stacked all my parts. So that was all me.
And tell them, as a musician, tell them what stacked is.
Mm-hmm. So stacked means, so if I'm singing different parts, let's say like a soprano, alto, tenor, I'm going to sing that soprano chorus or that melody like 3 or 4 times. Sometimes I've done up to 5, just that one soprano note, and I have to sing it exactly the same way.
Yeah,
so then it kind of gives it more body and more volume in the vocal. So it sounds like there's like, 10 people instead of just one.
Part
that I would sing in that harmony, I would stack, between 3 to 5 times, and they put it all together. And that's how you have that sound of having more than one voice.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then, so with all of this, then what keeps you motivated? Because I know there's lots of hits and goods and ups and downs. What keeps you going?
Oh, yeah. I think, early in my career, my journey as a musician, it's really about just setting goals and trying to get to that next level of music, business, whatever it is, performing. For me, I knew going into more the back end business part was going to help me to continue moving forward with the ability to perform on stage. And I wanted to have that knowledge just so I knew how the background of the music business worked, the ins and outs. And so I really, when I decided to go independent, wanted to learn more about it. So I knew, how it was going to look as I kept moving forward. And did those things, and it helped me to be able to decipher what opportunities would be good for me and what opportunities would not be a good fit for me. And then it got to the point where I think we all come to a place where we have to look at how we can build platforms to help others. And that was a turning point for me where it then shifted again, just from music, from business to more going into the activism side of things. And so that's pretty much where I've been for a little bit. Really just seeing how the landscape of things are and seeing how important our music history is in creating real equitable spaces, for everybody, but specifically for Black artists. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, what I have kind of come into and never thought for a million years that would be something I would end up doing.
Someone like me, person of color, really appreciates that. But how do you have any activist songs like that you work on, or do you have like, what is there any that you say this is like the most activist song I have, or is this something you feel like you'd work on in the future?
I have not in the past, but it's funny you say that, because the other day I was thinking about it. I'm like, I can't remember who I was talking to about it. I'm like, you know, with all the things that are going on, these are the times, like we were just speaking about, that you get inspired to create. And as a musician, you know, we create music, songs, and I just came out of nowhere, and I kind of just started writing a song I just started working on a couple of days ago. So I'm going to try to work around it and see what comes of it. I've got the hook or the chorus. So that usually is the, you know, for me, that's where I start, and then I kind of build off of that. So hopefully coming, you know, in the spring, I'll have something to put out there that is that song that kind of represents the past couple of years of my life with, you know, just activism and music and all those things.
You said that that wasn't the direction that you were wanting to go, but in the climate of the country, do you feel like, would you do an activist CD, or is it just whatever song comes to your heart, you'll just add it to your project?
I think for me, I really want to be able to use my voice to be able to share a message on stage in my songs. And so I'm really trying to, I don't want to say it's going to be an album, but I do want to have at least a few songs where it speaks to, you know, love and real equality and unity and all these things that we see going on there speak to that, the strength and the courage that people need to kind of just walk this life.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I think, you know, and like I said, I never thought I'd be, and it's not a shift. I think it's just an evolution of being a creative. You just kind of, you're walking a journey that, you know, you really don't know what's ahead of you until you get there. And so I'm really excited about this next phase of music for, you know, what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we appreciate those activists, people who stand up for other people and all of the above, and not even just about race sometimes, but in this business, there being a woman, I feel like you would understand this, but that's a whole nother, issue. Is there anything you feel like you can, because, and I'm going to mix something else in there also. You mentioned a label, being part of a label, not being, then going indie and all that. And so is there a difference between the way women would be treated in versus indie? If you were going indie, like you, I think you said you are now, versus being with a label?
I think just overall, even in just being in a band, you know, if you're a female, and typically that's how it goes, at least for me, my path, because I'm a solo artist, so I may have a couple background singers with me, and usually I would have a male background vocalist and a female background vocalist, but everybody else, you know, were male. And even in those spaces, when it's, you know, me and this band, I would still have to assert myself sometimes. And I'm not typically like that, but I learned very quickly, if you want to be heard, you need to speak up and use your voice. And you don't have to be mean, you don't have to be rude, but you have to be very direct, and you have to let people know that you're about business and you're serious, and that although, you know, we're doing music because we love it and we want to share that, because the music doesn't belong to us, our giftings don't belong to us. It was given to us to share, but there's a sense of responsibility with that. And if it's the music that I'm doing, then I have to be able to communicate with the people that I work with, and being in this industry is very male dominated. And so, like I said, I had to learn very quickly, you know, early on it was pretty uncomfortable to kind of like lift my voice a little bit louder and speak so I could be heard. But I would have to say, hey, I just need to say something just so I could get people's attention. And as time went on, it got easier, and then, you know, people knew that I, you know, I have something to say, that you know, it's time to listen. It's business,
right?
And so it's a growth process.
You know what?
Being a woman and navigating that
for sure. So for some reason, I just thought of someone in particular in the entertainment. I think it is a news anchor or you may know, but one of them had to like speak in a different way and lower her voice just to make sure that she sound more authoritative, which is really interesting, you know, but sometimes we have to learn those tricks. And if it's just, you know, like you said, just speaking up, speaking with authority, making it clear from the beginning, you know, is always really, really helpful for us navigating in that type of place. One thing that I do tell some of my younger cohorts that are in the music when they go to record in studios is if you can take someone with you, it's some, you know, really helpful sometimes because, you know, you're in a place, you know, one-on-one quite often, just to make sure that, you know, you're, you know, that you're holding people accountable and stuff like that. But, you know, we shouldn't have to do that. But I mean, again, just there's sometimes no accountability for things that happen because at that point it becomes he say, she say type of thing. And so, but so can, I'm sorry, let me clarify though, you were with the label, not anymore, or with the indie label, or not anymore? Just explain that really quick.
I'm independent, so I just, if you know, from the time I left LA, I decided, you know, I'm going to do things on my own. I'm not going to go any further with that. And that just, all that means is that you basically take on the financial burden of doing your music. So I was willing and able to fund my own, you know, career in music after, you know, going through some, and like I said, it's just one of those things where I had already been down that route before and I got, you know, had some time off and then moved to LA and I was in LA and it was, you know, and it was an experience. And at the end of it, I just was like, no.
This is not for me.
As big as this is, as big as it just came to a point where it's like you work so hard, you get to that point and there it is right in front of you. It's like people think you're crazy to turn down what was happening to me at that time. But when you've already been through it and you know what it feels like to lose your passion for something because of what you're told to do and you really don't have any input, I knew this was going to be an even bigger version of that. And to be frank, I just was not willing to sell my soul for that. And I knew that's what it would lead up to because I was already feeling that, you know, we were working on the project. And I was in there and there was these bits and pieces like, this is what's going to happen. This is going to happen. And with all the greatness behind like what it sounds like, I was like, I don't know. I had one session after a meeting that we had and it was pretty miserable. And it was just like a sign that was like, maybe you need to take a break before you make any major decisions or sign anything. Just take a break for a little bit and think about it. And so I thought about it.
Would you be able to share, you're not mentioning any names or any place in particular, would you be able to share anything specifically that made you feel like you were selling yourself or selling your soul?
Because you know in those contracts that they are not, they're very, how can I say this? It is not in the best interest of an artist.
Okay.
The sign, because although they're presenting a lot of opportunity and money, how it works is you're given all these things, right, to do these our tours and performance and wardrobes and all the things. On the back end of that, though, you are obligated to sell a certain amount of records to make up for the money that was fronted to you to do all these things. If you do not sell those records, then you're indebted to your label. And so you have to continue to make more and more and more music in the hopes of selling an extreme amount. Records to compensate or to break even or make a profit from your record sales. So that's the first thing. The other thing, too, that I recognize, and I think that first experience I had just kind of being in a position where I didn't have any creative control was that was miserable. I consider myself a singer, and I consider it a gift. It's something real for me. And so when you're told what to do and it doesn't feel right, and it doesn't feel like you, that's hard to kind of, you know, wrestle with when you're in the studio singing something that can sometimes physically hurt. And it's like you're going through these pains and strains for somebody to tell you what to look like, what to sound like, how to act, what, you know, the kind of genre you're going to fit into. And it's like, but I don't feel like I fit into any of that. And that's a struggle. A lot of people, you know, sometimes you're willing to give yourself up to do that. But I think I've had, you know, enough experience that I knew I would prefer not to do that. Because I, you know, I know how it felt. Didn't feel good at
all. Right, right. Thank you so much. I hear, you know, we, you know, being an outside hearing a lot of stories from different celebrities. It's just amazing, you know, how somebody can make it at all in the with the label, you know. But I guess it's whoever's meant will be, and if not, you know, I love just doing music, period. So I already feel like I'm with my label. You know, just being able to share what, you know, what I do, and I'm thankful for my gift, and we're thankful for you and your gift. And one, before I ask a couple more questions, man, time is flying. I want to introduce your next song. I know. I absolutely love your voice and have been honored to have you share your story and music with us on my new radio show, Getting Real with Roz. But do you mind if we play your next song? Oh, thank you so much. I know. I really appreciate that. Do you mind if we play your next song, Possible?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, let's do it. Here it is. Possible.
All right.
We can make this love feel possible.
I wrote that one. I didn't produce it. I just wrote the lyrics to it. And it was actually when I first came to Seattle, I had a band and we were going back and forth between several cities and was writing, in the process of writing that in Seattle, so that it was just ironic that, you know, wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, and then we all went when we, I don't know if we were on a tour at that time, we were just in town doing a show, but me and my band went up to the Space Needle and I took a picture off of the Space Needle, and that was the cover art for the song. So there was really no, it was just one of those things that just sounded like a love song. I wasn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't inspired by a person or anything. It was just, it sounded like a love song. And so that's how I wrote to it. That was one of those situations where it was just like, you know, not that I'm going through this right now, but I can relate to it. So,
yeah, for sure. Have you ever in the business, like since you've been doing this, wanted to just give up?
Yeah, I think as artists, we all get those moments of, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
This is hard. It is, you know, sometimes it's crushing the amount of, you know, pressure we're under to get things done and to perform well and to be all these things that people perceive us from, you know, on stage and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, when it's in you, it's in you. And
it's
one of those situations where no matter how hard you try to just forget about, say, you know, I'm going to try something different,
mm-hmm.
that music and that passion for it and that love and the gift just pulls you right back. And so, yeah, I think we all with anything.
For sure.
Trying to get to those moments where it was questioning, what am I doing?
Yeah, for sure. What would you say to those who right now is just like, I'm done. I'm just done.
I would say just like with anything, you know, I am a believer and I stand on my faith, and I know that this gift I've been given, like I said, is not for myself.
Mm-hmm.
The platforms I've been able to get to and I'm still reaching for, that platform is not for me. It's for me to use my voice
mm-hmm.
to really speak for others. And, you know, like I said, on the activism side of things, it is a real thing. It is. In so many ways, it could be, you know, very rewarding to see the results of that. But the
yeah.
road to it is very difficult and it's hard. And you kind of go in knowing that that you're kind of sacrificing yourself. But that sacrifice is well worth it if in the end of things, you know, other women, people of color, people that just don't have that same voice can feel more empowered to step forward and to, you know, attain those spaces for themselves too. So
mm-hmm.
when you feel like giving up, just know that you have a purpose, no matter what that is, whether it's music or activism or some kind
mm-hmm.
of business. Nothing is easy, and the harder it is, the bigger the reward. So I just say keep pushing and stay prayerful, and just, you know, like I said, for me being a believer, I know that God goes before me, behind me, on the sides of me. I cannot lose because he is the one that is ultimately in control. And
mm-hmm.
as long as I follow him, I will not fail.
Yeah, that's so good to hear, because I know even myself being going through those times where you're just like, okay, I think I've had it, you know, and especially in this business.
Yeah, yeah.
We're actually
mm-hmm.
meant to speak to a lot of people and to lift people up. And so in the meantime, because
yeah.
of that gift, it's actually more on attack for people like us who
mm-hmm.
are here to lift people up. Even in your activism, there's always going to be
yeah.
someone there to knock you down just because you're just trying to be fair. That it's just almost as
yeah.
simple as that. I just want life, and especially this country or wherever you are, just to be fair.
Yeah.
And you said something earlier. I don't know if you said anything more, but about love. If people really understood
yeah.
what that meant, I bet you this world would be
mm-hmm.
so different.
Yeah.
I actually know it would be a lot different. It's just that. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah. And that's why we do this. And I think one of the things that love part for me is important, and I really don't talk about this very often, but it was one of the deciding factors of me choosing to leave L.A. and that whole thing behind. At that point and migrate up to Seattle to do some different, but because I recognized that there was such a need for that, for real love and support and goodness, because it was so lacking. It was very dark
mm-hmm.
and heavy. You know, the industry on the front end looks great, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? But on the back end, it's a dark thing, and there's a lot of people that have, you know, a lot of depression and mental health issues. And my brother took his own life.
Oh,
and
sorry.
that part of it for me, the one thing I wanted the most was to create a space for people that felt good. So if they felt like they didn't have anywhere or anyone to turn to, that they knew they had a space where they would feel good and be welcomed, and it would be just a great energy. And that's what I felt when I was coming back and forth to Seattle later on in, like, I want to say 2018 or 2019, when I was getting ready to do business in Seattle. That was at the forefront of why I did what I did in terms
mm-hmm.
of business and making a move from LA to Seattle, was just creating a space for
yeah.
you know, something good, because there is so much heaviness.
Yeah.
Even back then, even prior to COVID, there was a lot of heaviness and darkness, and mental health is really just like this thing that people really didn't talk about too much. But because I had, you know, direct impact from that in my own personal life, you know, in ways I felt like that wasn't, my brother for some reason didn't feel like he could find a place like that. And so then my mission then became, if I could do anything. Let me do that with my gift, which is music. And as we know, there's a lot of creatives that struggle, just like everybody else. So creating that space, I thought was really important. So that's what inspired that move from LA to Seattle. And it's all based on love. It's all like, if people mm-hmm. just knew that, then imagine how many of the issues that we see would just not even be a thing.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of that, how did you deal with the death of this young artist, Twitch, that committed suicide?
Yeah. When I see things like that, you know, obviously it triggers me because my own brother took his life, and it's such a hard thing because the pain, I think people may not understand the mental pain of something is just as hard as the physical pain. And sometimes people get to the point where they just want to eliminate that pain. It's just like having a physical pain, you know, in your body that you just try to get rid of and you can't figure it out. And it just, you know, when I see things like that, it's just, it further kind of gives ammunition to just create good spaces for people and create awareness of it and resources that people, yeah. you know, have access to. I did a small show in Soho where, you know, we kind of partnered with the suicide hotline because these are the things that people are facing every single day, whether you know it or not. Me and my family didn't know, really.
Yeah, wow.
You know, my brother didn't share. It was just very sudden, like Twitch. It was like one minute he was smiling and he was acting, and the next minute someone was gone. And it just kind of rocked us. And it was like, what happened? You know, my parents are amazing, amazing. I'm so blessed to have them. And you just never know. So it's like, be kind to people. You know what I mean? Be kind to people. And that's what it's all about. And try your best to do good. And I've tried, and I'm going to continue trying. No matter what happens, that's the thing. No matter what people put out, I'm going to try to continue to put out the good stuff, the good energy.
Well, as of right now, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is 988. Is what I see anyway. This is not what this call was going to be about, but I want to go wherever the call takes us. And this is really important right now to mention that. So anyone who's feeling a certain way, please call, reach out to someone, and don't be alone in this, especially us artists. We, you know, our minds are creative and it can go down some dark paths, but we're here to lift you up. And I feel like you already did it, but I was going to ask you to speak life into our listeners right now. And I feel like that's what you've been doing, is speaking life. But is there anything in particular you want to share just as a statement to those listeners?
Well, thank you for, you know, saying that I've been speaking life. I really hope so. And I just especially want to just say, just to continue following your heart and your passion. Do not give attention to the distractions. Do not let one day of something that may just be bad stop you from continuing forward. My mom has reminded me so many times, in a spiritual sense and just in, you know, just everyday life, the closer you get to your goal, the harder it becomes. As she would say, the closer you get, the enemy attacks you even harder, because he knows how close you're getting to what God has for you. So I just say, push through that and know that the harder it gets sometimes, it means you're right on the other side of that reward. So just keep pushing, keep spreading good stuff, good love, support each other. And really try to understand that you never know what somebody is walking through, and just to be compassionate and kind.
Thank you. That is beautiful. I feel like I shouldn't say anything else besides that. That's really powerful. And again, really appreciate your words. And then as far as, is there anything you can give us, though, as far as like when your next show is, like how people can connect with you on social media?
I'm not on social media. When I left LA, kind of going through rebranding, took it all down, and then COVID happened.
Sure.
But I will keep you in the loop of in the
sure.
next few months coming in spring, I'll have more information about all
sure.
those things. So right now I don't have anything because I'm still in progress of working on some new stuff. So as soon as I have that, I'll give that information to you, Roz.
Not a problem at all. Well, let's thank you again. We thank you for being
thank
on
you.
The show, Jusun. And our next show date is the third Monday of the month, January 16th, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we'll be talking with Juan Pablo from Jamaica, sharing that reggae music vibe with us. Get ready to wiggle them hips. And as far as our next show segments, where I want you to make sure to check out the IO Radio Christmas special that will broadcast on Thursday, December 22nd, 2022 at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This show will be hosted by Oheniwa, the host for In the Know with Oheniwa and IO Radio Show's creator, producer L. Also make note that the music showcase that usually airs the first Saturday of each month did not broadcast for December. So that's the information I have, and this has been very enjoyable. And otherwise, that is all we have for you. Thank you again, Sun, and looking forward to hearing more about you. And
thank you
all, listeners, for being on here, Getting Real with Roz. You all have a wonderful rest of your night and holiday weekend.
Give it to me now, baby, come on. Give it to me now, baby, come on. Yeah.